kids are keeping an eye out.
I told him I think he should stand here behind me and make sure that squirrel doesn't run up my legs.
You've already seen what happens.
Yeah. I might move pretty quickly if that should happen. Good morning. Yesterday was a tough day for whatever reason, not sure, it just was. And I have this devotional that I've had for a long time, My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. I'm sure you all have it and have read it. And I have to tell you, it is not my favorite. He's harsh. He's dividing. He's blaming us, not God, of course. And so it was sitting by my chair in the living room, and I thought, well, Lord, there's no reason for me to read this. I'm not going to get anything out of it, because he's so harsh that it's hard to be blessed. I'm not saying it's not truth. Of course it's truth, because it's based on the Word of God. Tears were flowing, and I was just really down and despondent. And I picked it up, and I'm going to read you what it says. It's called The Great Life. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27. Whenever a thing becomes difficult in personal experience, we're in danger of blaming God. But it is we who are in the wrong, certainly not God. There is some perversity somewhere that we will not let go of. But immediately when we do, everything becomes clear as daylight. As long as we try to serve two ends, being ourselves and God, there is perplexity. The attitude must be one of complete reliance on God. When we once get to that point, there is nothing easier than living a saintly life. Difficulty comes in when we want to usurp the authority of the Holy Spirit for our own ends. Whenever you obey God, His seal is always that of peace, the witness of an unfathomable peace, which isn't natural, but the peace of Jesus. Whenever peace does not come, wait until it comes, or find out the reason why it doesn't come. If you are acting on an impulse or from a sense of the heroic, the peace of Jesus will not witness. There is no simplicity or confidence in God, because the spirit of simplicity is born of the Holy Spirit, not of your decisions. Every decision brings a reaction of simplicity. My questions come whenever I cease to obey. When I have obeyed God, the problems never come between me and God. They come as probes to keep the mind going on with the amazement at the revelation of who God is. Any problem that comes between God and myself springs out of disobedience. Any problem, and there are many, that is alongside me while I obey God will increase my ecstatic delight, because I know that my Father knows, and I'm going to watch and see how He unravels this thing. I was blessed. I was comforted. I was ministered to by that word. And I hope you are too. This morning I want to talk about Jesus again. Who is Jesus? And this message asks the question, who is Jesus? As Christians, it's hard for us to accept the argument that he was just a man or even a prophet. We find that seriously lacking in substance and totally against the scripture, of course. I think I threw away the good copy and replaced it with the old one. Sorry about that. Matthew 1:1 declares that this book, Matthew, is the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes on to name all the physical generations of Jesus. From Abraham to Joseph, there were 42 generations. That's 14 generations from Abraham, 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Israel into Babylon up to the birth of Christ for a total of 42 generations. The first chapter of Matthew in verse 16 concludes, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. These passages give us assurance that the physical generations of Jesus are true. And last week we referred to the scripture in Luke 24:27 that says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, expounded to them in all the scriptures about the things concerning himself. The world can't argue that Jesus had a past. He had people, he had relatives, he had a beginning. But it gets harder for the world to believe in Jesus' divinity. In John 5:39, Jesus addressed the Jewish leaders and he said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that in them are eternal life. But these are the same scriptures which testify of me. Of course, we know he was speaking about his divinity, but they couldn't see it. They couldn't even accept his name. My Dake's Bible commentary says that the name of Jesus is derived from the Hebrew name Yeshua, meaning Messiah, which is to deliver, to rescue, and Christ, which is derived from the Greek name Christos, meaning the anointed one. And these titles were cross-referenced throughout the Old Testament, and God himself expressly spoke to Israel in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And again in Acts 4:26, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord God and his Christ Jesus. Jesus was also recognized throughout scripture as the angel of the Lord, and he appeared in bodily form at critical and strategic times. He was recognized as God. One, the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. Two, he appeared to Abraham when he was just about to sacrifice Isaac, and to Moses in the burning bush. As a matter of fact, I read that Jesus, the Messiah, was promised and prophesied throughout the Old Testament over 570 times, and many times used symbolic names that had a particular meaning for that particular time and place. For instance, Numbers 24:17 talks about a star out of Jacob and a scepter from Israel. A prophet was named in Deuteronomy 18:15 as being Jesus. A king in Psalm 72, the anointed one of God in 1 Samuel 2, the mediator in Job 33, and the faithful priest in 2 Samuel 2 and 35. And finally, this is not an exhaustive list at all, even Eve was promised that a male descendant from her own lineage would crush the head of the serpent. And this list could go on and on, of course, but the point is that God had planted the seed of his Son coming to this fallen world as the Savior, and he embedded him throughout Scripture from the very beginning. And remember the plurality of God as he said, "Let us make man in our image." It was surely no surprise to those who were listening and who were watching for the coming of Christ at that first advent. Overcoming the greatest of obstacles, Mary and Joseph were in the right place at the right time, and not any accidental happening occurred, but it was ordained and orchestrated by the direct intervention of God when he ushered the birth of the Son of God into this world. Yes, we do know who Jesus is. We know him as God first presented him to the world in all of his humanity. We know him in relationship with God as his only begotten Son. We know him as deity, as Jesus the Messiah, the only one who was acceptable in sacrifice, both worthy and holy, to save the world. And finally, we know him as the glorious Christ, the one anointed by God. We do know who Jesus is. We know where he has been, and we also know that at the appointed hour designated by his Father, he will return and catch away his bride. He will return as king. These are all the forms and factors of who Jesus is and who and why we celebrate this wonderful Christmas season. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your master plan. As Audrey mentioned a few minutes ago, it wasn't an accident. You planned it from the beginning. And we thank you for sending your Son to us. And we thank you that you gave us eyes to see and ears to hear to receive the gift, Lord, that you've provided. Lord, we pray today that you would illuminate our hearts. Let us see brighter, greater, shining star in Jesus Christ, our King, who reigns supreme in our hearts. Thank you for forgiving us of our sin. Thank you for making a way of escape and rescue for us, Lord Jesus, to be reunited with you through the greatest sacrifice ever known to this world. We lift you up and we praise you now, Lord Jesus. We just honor your name, Lord. We give you praise in this Christmas season for who you are and who you've been and who you will be as the returning King to this world. And we give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. It was short today.
As I was wandering around looking for the squirrel over here, I just thought it's been a while since we as a group took some time to pray. So I asked Mom if she could just play, and I'm not going to ask everybody to come up or anything, but just take some time. We've brought some needs before the Lord already today and just wanted to give us some time together to go to the Lord again, just for the things that we've named today and for the things that we know, you know, are going on in our lives that we need for this week and in the weeks to come. I'd just like us to take some time with the Lord today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this church, Lord God. Mighty God, we thank you for your provision for this church, for lifting us up in our time of need, Jesus. We know that we can go to you at any time, and that as was read today, if ever there's not peace, is that if ever there's not clarity, Lord God, we need to drop everything and focus on you and not let anything come between us and you. Because we need your peace. We need the clarity of knowing that we have the truth. We know who you are, and we know who you need to be in our lives, and we want to put you first and secure that peace in our hearts and let everything else be worked out by you. Not let anything, Lord God, come between us and you, come between us and the truth that we understand, that we hold in our hearts.
Life is not,
but every opportunity, everything you can do to bring those souls to you, Lord God. The circumstances are hard, but if it brings a soul to you for eternity, it's worth it. We all know, Lord God, we all have family who've been here, who are not here anymore. Family who know of you, but family who are not following you, Lord God. A seed's been planted and we don't know the status, but you know. And you can make that seed to grow. And we ask that the prayers that have been invested, the tears that have been invested by each one of us here, some who have already come and gone to glory, that they not be in vain. Holiday time, Lord God, as our family around us, Lord, some saved, some not, that those who are lost, God, have an experience with you, a reckoning with you, Christ Jesus. Because if we love them, how much more do you love them? This holiday season, comfort our hearts, give us the peace that passeth understanding, the peace that tells us that we're putting you first and that you've got everything worked out. The circumstance may not change, it may not even improve, but the peace comes through knowing and acknowledging that you are our God. Direct this church, direct us in leadership, direct us in the body, direct us in voting, direct us in considering your purposes, Lord God. Bring your revelation and understanding by the word, by prayer, in any manner you please, Jesus. We want to follow you, we want to be focused on you, Jesus. And so we pray that you continually let us see you through our circumstances. Let us see beyond the things that challenge us day in and day out and see you. In your name we pray, Jesus. We ask that you go with us today. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship and ask that you be blessed by the efforts we make as you continually bless us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Get that squirrel out of here.